debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Live.
Yep, we're live now.
Okay.
We got 65 people in here so far. But hey everybody, this is Jesus and got my friend Tyler over here.
What's going on, guys?
AKA Johnny Smooth, as my dad calls him. But we're back for episode 2 of Bolt's Breakout. So kind of going off of what Dad kind of mentioned to me before after the first one, and he said that we did pretty good, but he said we probably need to kind of introduce you more and kind of tell the story of, you know, how we became friends and all of that. So now Tyler has, or Johnny Smooth, so you don't get us mixed up, but Johnny Smooth has a group on Facebook about Lightning game-worn jerseys and stuff like that. So I was in the group and he didn't know it. So like on a post probably a couple months ago, I commented something and he recognized me, and then we just started texting and became good friends from there, right?
Yeah, I think you had a question. You posted some question or something like that in the group, and I think that's how I initially reached out. And,
yeah. So
became friends from there, but
yeah, then, you know, we just became good friends, and then became closer and closer and going to Lightning games together, thanks to you, and, you know, doing a podcast now. So that's a little backstory of how everything started. So obviously, Lightning, heartbreaking loss last night in St. Louis, but we got a point out of it, so I guess that's an okay deal.
Yeah, not a great night last night, and you know, I know I've gotten on Brian Elliott quite a bit, but you know, it seems like he can't hold on to a lead. He's blown, I think it's 2 or 3 goal leads this season. The Lightning got off to a quick start yesterday, going up 3-0 in the first period. And, of course, they end up they end up giving up three unanswered goals and then losing in the shootout.
I think, I mean, we got off to a good start, but then, like you said, I wouldn't put it all on Elliott because, I mean, the whole team didn't play well after the first 10 minutes of the game.
No.
I mean, obviously, he didn't have Stamkos because he's expecting a child. I don't know if it was last night or today or whatever, but he didn't play last night. He made the trip back home to Tampa last night. Obviously, no Braden Point, no Kucherov, no Matthew Joseph, and you know, our backup, Brian Elliott, was in net. So, I mean, to get a point, you know, if you would have told me that going into last night, you probably would have taken it. But
yeah, I'd be pretty happy with that.
You know, but of course, you would think we would have won last night going up 3-0 in the first period. But, you know, it's all good. I guess we got a point out of it. So I guess that's all we can ask for, I guess.
And then we'll be back at it tomorrow against the same team, the St. Louis Blues, but in Tampa.
Yeah, so hopefully Stamkos is back for that, and hopefully Joseph is back for that, because I don't think they really said exactly how long he'll be out. At least I haven't heard anything about it, have you?
I haven't either. I checked Twitter today, and I didn't get a definitive answer on that.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned that you're going to the game tomorrow.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if this is a big deal for you, as it is for me, or maybe I'm just the only person that notices this, or I don't know, but going to Amalie, like, I've been to, you know, many other sporting events, but Paul Porter, the PA announcer, something about his voice and the way he announces and does all his job, he makes Lightning games really enjoyable, because I don't know if you notice, but, like, every time he introduces the team or a goal or anything... Mm-hmm. I have my phone out because I just appreciate and love how he has players' names. I don't know. It's just something about him that makes it really enjoyable.
He's one of the best, and he's been doing it for a long time. I don't know how long he's been there, but he's been there as long as I can remember. When I was a kid going to games in, you know, the early 2000s, he was there. So, you know, Paul's been doing it for a long time, and, you know, he's great. That's why he's still there.
You know, of course, obviously watching the game is, you know, a good part of it as well. It's also fun, but... Also, you know, you're also in a good mood before before the game starts and all that. So, thanks to him. I don't know if he probably won't ever hear this, but if you ever hear this, Paul, you're the man. Yeah, we definitely appreciate what you do for the team.
It was nice seeing the Lightning honor Rick Peckham at the last game that you and I were at.
Yeah, it was against Seattle.
Yeah, I definitely miss his play-by-play commentary. Nothing against the new guy, but Rick's been doing it since the Lightning's inaugural season. So obviously. You know, when you've been doing it for so long, people just, you know, attach your voice to, you know, watching the games on TV. He's, you know, the guy everyone knows and remembers. So it's a little hard not having him. I mean,
right.
He's a great talent, but it was nice seeing him getting honored at that game.
Yeah, they did really well for doing that for him. They did a good job at that. But I mean, Randorf, the new guy, he's not too bad. But you know, once you have one person doing it for so long, you know, you're kind of stuck with him and you appreciate it and want more of it, especially if they're good, you know, but when you have a change like that, it's like, the guy's not bad that we got now, but he definitely appreciate what Rick did.
Definitely.
Same thing with Paul Porter, you know, like whenever, cause he announces the Orlando Magic games as well. So
yep.
Like you'll switch back and forth and, you know, I've been to a Lightning game where he's not announcing. I'm like, oh man, you know,
he's in Orlando for that. Then
you're right.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not there. And I'm like, oh man, this nothing against the guy that's filling in for him. But like, you know, Paul is probably the greatest around here.
Yeah. He's definitely one of the best, no doubt.
So Lightning play the Blues tomorrow again.
Yep.
We're supposed to have Kucherov in point back, hopefully by the end of the month, maybe early January, but, for not having, you know, Point or Kucherov, I think the Lightning have done pretty well last couple of weeks without him.
Definitely, and I can see the Lightning getting Point probably back before Kucherov. That's just from my understanding from reading things on Twitter. I'm sure you do the same thing, right? Whenever there's an injury, I'm looking for a Lightning update. Usually Twitter's the place that you find the info the quickest, but I'm just hoping that Kuch is going to be able to get back before the Olympics. It would really suck for him to not be able to participate in that.
Also, hopefully he's back for Nashville when we go up there.
That's right.
You know, hopefully, you know, we don't want him to be out for that game as
well.
Well,
I know Kuch is your guy too, so I'm sure that you want to see him play.
Of course.
Looking forward to that trip. And yes, I did finally book my hotel
for
Nashville.
Good. Where are you staying at? Like, is it in the city in downtown?
Yeah, I'm maybe 10 minutes from the stadium.
Cool, because the one that we booked it's probably 10-15 minutes from downtown as well.
Perfect.
So it's a Hampton Inn. I don't know what yours is, but
Yeah, it'll be a good time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
If only they can put out those stadium series jerseys. Oh, I want to know what they. I know you and I have been talking about that for a while. I want to see how they look.
I've been checking Twitter and everything every single day, like 10 times a day, trying to figure out, you know, if anybody's talking about it, anybody's releasing anything yet.
Right.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous because, you know, some of these stadium series jerseys and winter classic jerseys, mostly the stadium series, some of them have just been flat out fucking ugly.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they do a decent job with the Bolts for their first outdoor game.
I'm assuming it's going to be white since we're away, right?
You would think, yeah.
So hopefully it's kind of similar to the reverse retros like we had last year. Hopefully, like the same logo at least, or something like that.
Right. I like that old school logo more, to be honest.
Yeah, I do too. It, you know, it's it just takes you back to, you know, early 2000s when, you know, we won the cup in 04. It just takes you back to the, you know, the good old days when the Lightning, you know, were first getting around, first starting.
Definitely.
So I want to talk about, I don't know, probably both of our, one of our both favorite players is Corey Perry.
He's
he's coming alive after that first goal against Philly a couple weeks ago. He's coming along. So I'm glad to see he got his third goal last night in the second game in a row because he had one against Minnesota on Sunday. So I'm glad to see Corey Perry coming alive because he's definitely somebody that we'll need going into the playoffs.
Perry kind of got off to a slow start to start the year in terms of scoring, but you know, he's picked up goals in back-to-back games, so that's good to see.
I mean, he was getting chances, though. Like, early on, he was getting a ton of chances. He just couldn't capitalize on them. But, you know, last couple games, he's been fine in the back of the net, which is definitely a good thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the Corey Perry of old. He's, you know, he's a former Rocket Richard winner. Surprisingly, you look at him now and you wouldn't think that. But, you know, the Lightning didn't bring him in to score goals at this stage in his career. But, you know, he brings tons of other aspects onto the ice other than scoring goals. But it's nice to see him, you know, put a few in the back of the net recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to score 50 like he did in 2011.
Right.
I mean, wish he would, but, you know, it's just not, probably won't happen. But, you know, we brought him in to be a guy that kind of like a Yanni Coleman Gaudreau type of guy who's just a pain in the ass, but, you know, he'll get some goals here and there and just, I mean, he's not going to play on the penalty kill or nothing, but he's just that guy that, just like Maroon, like a guy you need in the playoffs to be successful.
Definitely. And I mean, Corey's obviously been a strong aspect to, you know, a few teams. You know, he was with the Stars when, you know, they made it to the finals and then with Montreal. So, you know, he's gotten there. So hopefully, you know, again, he helps this team in the playoffs this season.
Yeah, I remember back in 2020 in the bubble, you know, he was with Dallas and I'm like, man, this guy's a pain in the ass. And he scored the OT winner and I think it was game 3 or game 4 or something like that.
Yep, to keep the series alive. Yeah,
like,
I remember
I'm
that.
I'm like, damn, you know, this guy's, I mean, I knew who he was, obviously, but I'm like, man, this guy is somebody you hate to play against.
Absolutely.
But you want him on your team 100%. And then I remember watching the Winter Classic because, you know, I told you Dallas is like my second favorite team if I had to pick. And I remember watching that game when they played Nashville, 2020. Yeah, January 2020, the Winter Classic, and he elbowed Ryan Ellis in the head, and then he got like 5 minutes in the game, and then he got ejected, and he walked down the line. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, he got tossed almost as soon as the game started. So that was, you know, that was interesting. A lot of people think that he's a dirty player, but you know, he's not on the same kind of level as, you know, Brad Marchand, slew footing. Who did he do that to a couple of days ago? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, it was Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or a player like Tom Wilson, just a complete piece of shit.
Yeah, those two are the absolute worst. And, I mean, you know, you look, they've actually got like a compilation of Corey Perry doing all these things on YouTube.
He's nowhere near as worse as them.
Yeah, exactly. So I watch it, you know, he hits people and, you know, it's borderline, you know.
Right.
It's 50-50, but there's nothing like Marchand or Wilson, you know. Those guys are just assholes.
Right, definitely.
And, I mean, Corey Perry's got, he's got 6 points, 3 goals, 3 assists. So, I mean, you know, I think we're in 23 games in or something by now, and, you know, he's 6 points. It's okay. I mean, of course you want more out of it, but
sure.
It's good to see him, you know, starting to come alive now because, you know, without Point, Kucherov, Joseph, and Stamkos last night, you know, you're going to need somebody to pick up the pace. And also another guy who's actually been doing pretty well is Cirelli. He got a goal last night against the Blues, and he's been picking it up.
Yeah, he has, definitely. And is he still wearing that cage? Was he wearing that last
night? Yeah, yeah,
he still got the cage on.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm pretty sure he probably broke his nose by.
Yeah, I would assume so.
You know, because he probably wouldn't be wearing that if.
Right.
You know, it's probably not the most comfortable thing to be wearing, I'm guessing. Another two rookies who've really impressed me this year is Radish and Kachuk. I mean, I think the whole team kind of started kind of slow, probably the first five or so games. But Radish and Kachuk have really, really impressed me these last, 10 games or so.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And I thought Radish was picking up his first goal last night, but I guess they ended up giving the goal to Sorelli. So that's kind of a bummer for him. But yeah, they have been playing well recently. And, I know they have high expectations for both of those guys. They were two of their top prospects coming out of Syracuse. And I know Cal Foote was their number one rated prospect, and this is his second year in the league. To be honest, I haven't been too impressed by him so far, but I'm hoping that he can also turn things around.
I know. I remember telling you probably a couple months ago that I wasn't impressed with his play last year. And I mean, he's shown like a game or two of good hockey, but other than that, he unfortunately hasn't shown too much positive things, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But, I didn't think Hedman was that impressive, maybe the first half or even his entire rookie season. But, going into year two and three, he really picked it up big time. So I'm hoping we see the same thing for Foote, who, if he plays even as half as well as his father did, who's a Hall of Fame defenseman, he'll have a pretty decent career.
But. Right. Did you happen to watch the broadcast last night of the game?
Yeah, I did.
I thought it was kind of funny when they had Barry Melrose and Ryan Callahan on the same set and during the intermission, like, the guy used to play for the Lightning and loves the Lightning, and then you got Barry Melrose, who hates the Lightning.
See, every Lightning fan hates Barry Melrose. I happen to be a fan of Barry. I've always enjoyed his commentary. I think that, he was fired prematurely. I know that that's not a very popular opinion, but, the one thing that I remember him saying back in the day, he was dismissed, I think, after, what was it, like 16 games coaching the Lightning back in 08, Stamkos'
like
rookie
that.
Year. The one thing that he said is the only power a coach has is ice time. And, he's not going to give a guy ice time, or a lot of ice time, I should say, just because he's the number one pick. Obviously, Stamkos has turned out pretty damn well. But, I do agree with him in that aspect. But the ownership in those days was just absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know Barry Melrose, didn't he? I know he benched Stamkos for a couple games, but did he send him down to the AHL?
He didn't send him down. I don't
he
remember
just
him.
Him right?
I don't remember him getting benched either. But I remember him only playing like 10 minutes a game, which he should have been getting more than that. But
I remember watching an interview that Stamkos did not too long ago with Barstool with
yep.
Biz Nasty,
mm-hmm.
That guy and all those guys.
The
on,
Spit and Chicklets podcast. Yep,
exactly. And he was talking about how, that deal with Barry and how Barry sat him for like every other game for like the first 10 games or something.
Yeah, he was saying, I guess it was, he was working on strength and conditioning or something like that. Because when Stamkos came up, he was a pretty small guy. So I think that's essentially what they were working on with him. It wasn't necessarily benching him because of his play, but I forgot exactly what they said. I'd have to go back and watch it, but I do remember what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and Haas, I definitely agree that Chernak is definitely helps that he's back.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Bogosian and Foote and Ruda on that right side, but they're 50-50. I mean, Ruda is probably the better out of those three, but Chernak is definitely our number one right-handed defenseman.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, Bogosian, he's okay, nothing special. Ruda is probably better than Bogosian, but...
I think so, too, but I still like... I feel like I like Bogosian's play better in his second stint with them this year than I was when he was on the team with their first cup win in 2020.
Yeah, and another guy I know you said that you like is Schuster, but...
Yeah.
He got that one goal against Arizona, but,
maybe I'm just a little nostalgic. I went to almost every game that cup run when they lost to Chicago in 14-15. So obviously I saw a lot of Schuster and, it was interesting to see him back, but it's weird not seeing him wear his familiar number 62.
Oh, I know you. What is he? Was he 29 now?
Something like that. Yeah.
So you like lose him on the ice because you have no idea who he is. Sometimes.
Definitely. Yep.
Now I want to talk about the Yanni tribute they did the other night, which was very well deserved.
Absolutely.
I know you had a couple drinks, and do you remember that?
No, yeah.
I remember you about busted your ass getting into the seat one time.
Yeah, I was pretty loaded prior to the game starting, but, you know, I definitely remember it. In fact, I think I recorded it, but, you know, it was definitely a well-deserved tribute. To be honest, though, I will say this. I feel like a lot of Lightning fans talk about him now, but I don't remember hearing them talk about him as much when he was still with the team.
Right. I remember they were bashing him, you know, left and right when he couldn't score that, you know, before the bubble.
Right. And now they're treating him like Jesus Christ when he returns. Granted, it was definitely a well-deserved tribute. Don't get me wrong, but I still wish he was on the team, though, for sure.
Oh, I do too. Because I don't think you're not going to find anybody that can replace that line of Yanni, Gaudreau, and Coleman. I mean, you're not going to be able to find the chemistry that those
right.
three had. Even though you got, Perry, Belmar, and Maroon right now, or the kid line, or the not kid line, whatever the hell you want to
call
them.
Yeah, and I mean, they had players in Syracuse that, you know, it was about time for them to come up and to be able to get a shot, like, you know, Boris Kachuk and Taylor Radish. Those guys, you know, were highly touted prospects. We needed to see how they would pan out. So, you know, eventually that's going to happen. And I'm glad that they're finally getting that shot this season. One thing that I'm definitely curious about is if Palat's going to be back next year, because Point's new deal is going to be kicking in.
Right, and I don't think there's any possible way that Palat is back. You know,
I didn't think he was going to be back this season. I know a lot of people contemplated whether it was going to be Killorn or Palat. I wasn't necessarily worried about Killorn. I didn't think he was going anywhere, but Palat I can definitely see being expendable next year.
Right, because I remember before the expansion draft happened, and, you know, I thought, because we already knew going into this season that the cap was going to be tight.
Right.
And the three that one of the three that were going to go is Yanni, Killorn, and Palat. And
yep.
I'm like, well, out of those three, I'd probably have Palat go.
Yeah.
You know, I thought we just depends, but I kind of thought that we were going to be able to get Coleman and Gaudreau back. I thought they probably would have taken, you know, a team-friendly deal.
I definitely didn't think they were going to be coming back. I knew they were going to be cashing in big time, which I don't blame them. I mean, they got both of them got way overpaid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They were a big part of our team and a big part of winning, but, you know, they're not worth what they're getting paid.
No, I mean, I love Gaudreau and I love Coleman, but, you know, I think Gaudreau got almost, you know, 4-something million. And,
right.
And, you know, same thing with Coleman. But, you know, those are the guys that scored, you know, 20
sure.
points a year. But,
right.
You know, come playoff time, they'll bust your ass. But,
yeah.
You know, you got to get to the playoffs first. But I definitely think that I agree with you 100%. They got way overpaid.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to pay a guy, you know, $5 million to play on the third or fourth line. That, you know, if they were going to do that, they might as well have just kept Johnson. So.
Yeah, and he hasn't really done much in Chicago this year
hasn't.
Either. I think the whole team hasn't really done much since the little sexual assault deal happened.
Yep.
You know, but I definitely missed Yanni, Goody, and Coleman. But I think we'll be okay now that we got, you know, Boris and Radish and Perry and, you know, all these guys that are stepping up now. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, let's see. Another thing that we wanted to talk about is Brian Elliott.
Yep.
I don't know. I think he's. He's shown greatness, like, here and there. Like, the Minnesota Wild game that we were at a couple weeks ago, he saved us in the shootout, and, you know, we saved our ass. But, you know, he's shown really good, and then he's shown really bad.
Well, I don't know about greatness. I mean, I think he's just gotten flat-out lucky.
Right.
I mean, listen, he blew a 3-goal lead and ended up going into overtime. And then somehow he was able to shut the door in the shootout. It shouldn't have even gotten to that point, but it was nice they were able to pick up 2 points that night. Last night, though, I know you're missing a lot of guys, but when you jump out to a 3-0 lead, listen, no one expects Brian Elliott to be Andrei Vasilevsky, but, you know, you have to play well enough to just not lose the game. You don't have to steal, you know, you don't have to steal a win away, but just don't blow it. And unfortunately, the Lightning haven't gotten quality backup goaltending in, you know, since Ben Bishop and Andrei Vasilevsky were, you know, the goalie tandem in Tampa.
Right, I kind of think that Elliott's more of like he's probably way better than Domingue was, but Domingue, like, everybody loves Domingue because he, you know, he won a couple games here and there, but
right.
I didn't think he was that good.
I don't think so either, but at that time, the team was scoring like 5 or 6 goals a night,
right.
So, you know, when you're putting up those kind of numbers, you know, he's got to have, you know, his numbers are going to be, his wins are going to be a little bit more inflated.
Right, and, you know, that was the year that, unfortunately, we lost to Columbus in the first round. But
right.
That was like tied for the greatest record in the NHL history and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, that was definitely disappointing. I was at those two home playoff games, and they got off to a, I think it was a big lead. They were up like 3-0 or something like that after the first against Columbus in game one. And then it just went horribly wrong from there. And the series, you know, obviously went to Columbus, but.
Yeah, I was there for game one as well against Columbus. And I'm like, oh man, we're up 3-0. Cause I think Killorn got a shorthanded goal or something. And then Sorelli and Sergachev, I think it was those three that got a goal, but we're up 3-0. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be easy. We're going to whip their ass. It's going to be a sweep. Well, obviously not, but
right.
We were so confident going probably in the second, third period of those games, and then obviously that did not play well.
No, absolutely not. But they go on to win the cup the following season, so it all worked out.
Yeah, the next two, so I think it makes up for it. I mean, I don't think they would have won in the bubble if that didn't happen the year before.
Yeah, no, that you can definitely make an argument for that for sure. It would have been nice to see him win it that year too. It would have been a three-peat, I guess, but you know, going back to 18-19, they hadn't been tested the entire year. They didn't really fight any adversity, and I know that was one of the arguments a lot of people said, but you know, it all ended up working out.
And like I remember, because I went to probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 games that year when they were just kicking everybody's ass, and I'm like, man, you know, I went to a couple Buffalo games, and that was like, you know, Buffalo sucks, so I mean, you're like, damn, this is like an ass whipping. So, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of happy that it happened, but you know, it still sucks thinking about it because I still don't think we would have won in probably last year or the year before if you know we didn't lose in that year against Columbus.
Yeah, you could be right for sure.
Because I mean, you look at that and you realize what we needed, and that's when we got Goodrow and Coleman, and those two guys, you know, were probably one of the key pieces of us winning the cup last year, not scoring wise, but just physical on the PK and everything like that. They were definitely a key piece of that, to those championships.
Yep.
All righty. So next thing I want to talk about is Stamkos. He's top 10 in the league in scoring. He's playing a lot better than I thought he would coming off surgeries the last couple of years, not being 100% healthy. And he stated not too long ago that this is the best he's felt in a long time, and it definitely shows because he's playing very well right now.
And that's definitely good for the Tampa Bay Lightning for him to be saying something like that. You know, this guy gets a whole lot of shit for being, you know, quote-unquote hurt every year, which totally isn't the case. People could start making that case for Kucherov now maybe, but, you know, Stammer's having a great year, and he's doing it at a great time because the team's, you know, they've been beat up this year, both on the blue line and with their forwards. Obviously, Braden Point, like you said, is out. Nikita Kucherov's out. Matthew Joseph is out. So for him to be getting it going now and be playing at a high level is a good thing for the team.
Now, do you agree that the right-handed defenseman is probably like our weakest position out there?
Yeah, you could definitely make that argument. You know what? I think we've been okay on the blue line this year. Not the best, not as good as they have been last year, but... yeah, I could possibly see them maybe trading for a right-handed shot, possibly at the deadline. I think.
Who do you think would be a good fit? I got somebody in mind, but I want to see if you have anybody.
I'm not sure off the top of my head. I'd have to see. Once it gets closer to the trade deadline, obviously, you know, the rumors start going out on who might be available, who might be shopped at the deadline. So I'll have to wait to give my opinion there. But who are you thinking of?
Damon Severson.
Yeah.
From the Devils.
Okay.
I think he makes $3-4 million a year. Nothing too crazy. I could definitely see Pelag get moved at the deadline because, you know, he's making $5.3 million, which, you know, there's no way we can bring that back next year.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't see him coming back next year, I don't see why they wouldn't trade him unless if they feel that they need him as a part of the run this year. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with Pelag.
I don't think that Pelag is... I mean, he's a good player. He's definitely a good top six forward, but I don't think Andre Palat is going to make or break a championship for us because, I mean, Barry Boulay and all these other young guys that are stepping up and, you know, doing well, I think they can take his spot easily. But it's the only thing that would struggle with is the chemistry because him and Kucherov in point.
That's what I was about to say.
On the first line is pretty good. But
yeah.
I think somebody could step up and do as well as he can.
I mean, I haven't seen Palat wear the A in a while, but, you know, he is a guy that's worn, you know, the alternate captain's A before. So obviously they think he's, you know, a great guy in the locker room, great locker room guy. So, you know, do you want to maybe risk messing with the chemistry in the locker room prior to a run? I don't know. I mean, I guess they'll have to make that call, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Right. I mean, yeah, Palat's making $5 million a year, and I mean, we're going to be tied against the cap next year, and you know, Corey Perry signed. I think he's at a minimum deal, and you got all these guys that came here this year that are on really, really cheap deals, and you're going to need that because, you know, Point's big contract's kicking in. Hedman's making $8 million a year. Stamkos is making, I believe, $8.5-9 million a year. So they all add up quickly, and we're going to need I think we got to get rid of Palat, honestly. I think I just don't think there's any way that he can come back.
I don't think so either. And I do like what you said about, you know, Palat maybe not making or breaking this team in terms of a run. You know what? They have a lot of character guys. They have a lot of, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, step up in terms of leadership on the ice, in the locker room. You know, a lot of these guys have been together for a long time. Stamkos, Palat, Kucherov, Hedman. You know, there's a lot of guys in that locker room that have been together for, you know, 7 or 8 years. So I don't think maybe trading him is necessarily going to affect that too much.
Right. And I mean, the only thing that I would worry about is the chemistry between, you know, Point, Kucherov, and Palat on that first line, because that was the first line of the playoffs last year, and obviously it worked out pretty well. But, you know, I think you could get Barry Boulay or somebody, Radish or Colton or somebody up there that maybe not be on the first line with Point, Kucherov. Maybe you throw Stamkos or Sorelli or Killorn up there, but
right. He
can definitely fit into that second or third line, you know, and still be a positive impact for the team. But, you know, another guy who won the Cup with us in 2020, who I got up on the screen right now, is Shattenkirk, who is absolutely not killing it, but he is playing very, very well for Anaheim. I mean, he's got 16 points in 23 games with 5 goals and 11 assists, so that's not bad at all.
And I like Shattenkirk a lot. I knew that they weren't going to be able to hold on to him, but he's another right-handed shot. You know, it'd be nice to maybe have him on the blue line still, but...
Right, and I mean, we don't have... On the right side, we don't have like a true offensive defenseman like Shattenkirk was.
Right.
I mean, we got Savard last year, but he was more of a defenseman, like defense.
And he was a rental too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone expected him to be back.
Right. I mean, he was making $4 million a year. He signed with Montreal this year. I think it was $4 million or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, we can't afford that, unfortunately. I mean, I thought Savard was not very good until the playoffs hit.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. I was definitely, underwhelmed with his regular season play, kind of wondering why the hell did you even trade for this guy? But he stepped it up big time in the playoffs, and he was a key reason as to, you know, why they got to the finals,
right.
I think, on the blue line.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Savard's making $3.5 million, so, I mean, that's something we couldn't take back this year. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you because, I mean, Savard, you know, he got the assist on the Colton goal to win the cup. So, I mean, obviously in the playoffs, he kind of stepped it up and gained some chemistry with the guys. But before that, it was like, man, what the hell is this guy doing here?
All right.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of.
Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. They slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Somebody that could possibly be a trade target. I know I have seen where people have been talking about, we should go get Phil Kessel, get Phil Kessel. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
I don't know. Well, I love Phil. I'm a big fan of Phil.
Right.
I don't know what
right.
kind of a fit he is. You know, Phil's getting up there in age a little bit. I don't know what Phil's making. I can't imagine it's anything cheap. I would have to imagine Phil's making, you know, $5 million a year, I would think. What does it say?
6.8.
Okay, way more than I thought.
Yeah,
so there's no way that they're squeezing Phil Kessel onto this team this year.
I think
if anything, they trade for a defenseman. And again, a right-handed shot. I think our forward depth is fine. I can't see them trading for another forward, but it would be nice to see them maybe get more of an offensive defenseman, a right-handed shot. Granted, Savard was great, but he's more of a stay-at-home guy. He doesn't really add to the offense too much.
Right.
But, you know, I know obviously a scoring right-handed defenseman won't come cheap at the trade deadline, so we'll have to see what they do.
No, and there's, I don't know. I mean, I could possibly see the Lightning trading for a bottom six forward that's, like, dirt cheap, like makes a minimum deal.
Right. Maybe just to add some depth in case just, we get an injury or something.
Right. Or, you know, a veteran guy like,
yep.
Hell, I don't even know. But I could see them doing a bottom six forward or a right-handed defenseman because, unfortunately, we don't have, like, a very good offensive defenseman for the right side. I think Chernak is probably the most, you know, fits that category the best, but he's not very
right. He's not lighting the net up. So.
No, he's not a Shattenkirk who can shoot the puck and put it in the back of the net. I mean, he did score that one goal last night. Who was pure luck that got around the boards, and you see that?
Yeah.
So I mean, I know Chernak is not a Shattenkirk or a somebody like that who can put the puck in the back of the net. I mean, he'll get you a couple goals each year, but he's not gonna light it up and score 15 like a Hedman does, or Dougie Hamilton, or Yossi, or somebody like that who's like a two-way defenseman. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody who we could trade for. I know the kind of like the big news right now in the NHL is Jake DeBrusk asking for a trade from Boston.
I did see that. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
I mean, I really have no idea. I mean, Boston's kind of falling apart now because you got DeBrusk wanting to leave. Bruce Cassidy's got COVID. He's, you know, I don't know how long he's out for, but he's in protocol for a little while. Marchand got suspended 3 games for slew-footing Larson. So, I mean,
they've definitely underperformed this year for sure. I was looking at the standings the other day, and I was a bit surprised.
Right.
But,
you know, Tuukka Rask is not there anymore. David Krejci's not there anymore. And, you know, it's fine with me. I don't like Boston. So I'm kind of glad they're not doing very well.
Right. All across the board, any Boston sports I've never been a fan of.
No, me either. And, I despise Marchand. I hate that guy. I know you said that you like Hornqvist, and he kind of reminds me of, not into a T, but he kind of reminds me of a Corey Perry.
He's just a pain in the ass to play against.
Right.
And, you know, he's one of those guys that you, you love to have on your team, but you hate playing against him. He's a pest. He'll stand in front of the net, get right up on your goaltender. It'll punch you right in the mouth. You know, he's a great character guy in the locker room. He brings a lot of intensity onto the ice. So, you know, that's why I love Patrick Hornqvist.
I mean, you're a big fan of his because he played for the Penguins for a couple of years. So.
But I still like him in Florida. You know,
even though
they're our in-state rivals, they still got a couple of players I don't mind.
No, I mean, I'm glad to see Verhaeghe doing well because, I mean, I think he was kind of just buried in our lineup because we had so much depth and he was kind of just buried back there and didn't really get. I mean, he got a shot here and there, but
he deserves better. He's doing well in Florida, and it's nice to see him get that opportunity.
Right. I mean, I think he signed for $1 million last year, and then he got an extension this year. So that's well deserved because he lit it up for the Panthers last year. He was very good last year.
That he did.
So so we play the Blues next. Tomorrow night, then we're at Boston without Marchand, without their coach.
It looks like they go on a 5-game road trip after they play tomorrow night in Tampa.
Yep, they go at Boston, at Philly, which is back-to-back, Saturday at Boston, Sunday at Philly. So Brian Elliott being net for one of those games, unfortunately.
I would assume so. So hopefully he can maybe hold on to a lead this time.
And then we go at Montreal, which is final rematch of last year's finals.
Yep.
At Toronto, which will probably be a very good game with Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Tavares, and all those guys, even though I don't like them, but it'll probably be a good game. Then at Ottawa on Saturday the 11th, which hopefully we win that one at least. If we could win, three out of the five, we'll take it.
Yeah, that was what I was about to say. You'd want to probably take three out of the five.
Yeah, if we can beat Boston, Montreal, and Ottawa, at least those three, I think we'll be okay because, Boston's in our division, Montreal's in our division, Ottawa's in our division. So
those are games you want to win for
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. I mean, you want to win Toronto, but if you don't, then, it's okay. I mean, we're early December, so there's still plenty of time to get on a run here. And, I mean, it definitely helping would point Kucherov and Joseph and all those guys come back because we definitely will need them here soon.
The one thing I never understood is, I don't know how many of these Lightning fan groups you're in on Facebook, which, to be honest, I'm getting ready to leave a bunch of them. It's nothing but people overreacting by the Lightning's play this year, which, to be quite honest, with what they've had to deal with in terms of injuries, the team hasn't been playing that bad. I mean, they're sitting in third place in the Atlantic Division this year. They're only 5 games back, and, they have a couple of games in hand to those teams that are in front of them. I thought I think they've played well this year considering what they've had to deal with.
Right. And I mean, the first 5 games they got off to a slow start, but other than that, I mean, you can't complain too much about what they've done.
Right.
Especially having Kucherov out for, I don't know, since the third or fourth game of the year, and then points out for, a month or two. And, when you get Kucherov and point back, I think we'll be in good shape. Just hopefully they stay healthy the rest of the year because we're not going to win the cup without those two guys. There's no way.
Yeah, no way. Definitely not.
At the end of the month, we play the Rangers at home on New Year's Eve, and that's going to be a cool game to see because I wonder if they'll do the same thing for Goodrow like they did with Yanni with the tribute and all that stuff.
I don't know, only because, Yanni came up through their system. He's a guy that they drafted.
Right.
Goodrow obviously wasn't. I'm sure that they'll show some kind of little, 20-second tribute video on the screen, but I'm sure they'll do something for him.
Yeah, then the next week on the 6th of January, Coleman comes back. You play Calgary at home on the 6th. So it'd be kind of cool to see if they do anything for those guys, which, I think they should at least just do something little. I mean, they'll probably give them their ring like they did with Yanni the other night. And,
they'll definitely acknowledge him for sure.
Yeah, which they should. They should. I mean, those guys were, a key piece in winning the cup the last 2 years. So they definitely deserve it. I still think, I still wish they were still here, but,
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, things don't work that way in terms of the cap. So.
No, unfortunately not. But, I think the Lightning have 2 games in hand on, maybe one or two games in hand on Toronto and in Florida. So I think we're only, like you said, 5 or 6 points behind them.
Yep, five points back, I believe.
So, I mean, that's not bad at all considering what the Lightning have had to deal with this year with injuries and stuff like that. But, You know, I want to talk about Draisaitl and Ovechkin and McDavid because those three are just running away for the point lead in the league. Because Draisaitl has 40, Ovechkin has 37, and McDavid has 36, and the next closest guy is Kadri, surprisingly, yep, with 27, and Kuznetsov with 27.
You know, going into the season, I was one of those guys that were, you know, doubting if Ovechkin would be able to catch Gretzky's goal record. You know, I'm starting to take back what I've said about him prior to this year. I mean, he's just absolutely lighting it up at his age too. It's very impressive.
You know, he didn't have the greatest of years last year. I think he only, you know, he was under a point per game. He wasn't doing anything crazy, but this year he's got 37 points in 23 games with 19 goals. So he's like almost at a goal per game.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
He's showing no signs of slowing down. And how old is he? Ovi's what, 36?
I think 36, 37.
Something like that. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. So I'd like to see him do it. Whether he breaks Gretzky's goal record or not, I still think he's probably, you know, the NHL's greatest goal scorer. I mean, considering the goalies he's having to go up to, is, you know, not discounting what Gretzky did for the game, but obviously the game's changed quite a bit. It's harder to score these days, or at least since Ovi was drafted, than it was for Wayne.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. I mean, you look at Draisaitl, though. He's got 20 goals in 20 games. That's crazy. And he's got 40 points in 20 games. So he's killing it. And I think he definitely benefits playing with McDavid, but I would be kind of curious to see how he would do on a different team. I mean, Draisaitl obviously is leading the league in points, but if he was on, like, I don't know, any other team, Dallas or Minnesota or somebody who's got good forwards, but not like a superstar McDavid, I wonder how he would do. And kind of surprised to see Granlund from Nashville. He's sixth in the league in points.
Yep.
Kaprizov, who's a young guy from Minnesota, is kicking ass. He's sixth in the league. And Troy Terry from Anaheim has 24 points in 22 games.
I've been surprised by Terry's play this year.
Me too.
I mean, he's had a good year.
I know, and kind of surprisingly, because I mean, you look at Anaheim and they're all young, Drysdale and Zegras and all these guys, and I think Terry kind of got overlooked. That he's definitely showing that he could potentially be a superstar for Anaheim. But you know, you look at Getzlaf and you think, oh no, yeah, he was probably going to be leading the league not the league, but the team in scoring. But
right. Well, Getzlaf is also getting up there in age. I don't know how old he is. I think he's 37 or 38 years old, something like that. So,
have you been hearing about the JT Miller drama in Vancouver?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with that.
He's getting pissed at the management and all that and the whole team for just not playing well, and there are a bunch of talks about him getting traded recently. But I mean, I can kind of see his frustration because, I mean, he's not playing bad himself. He's got, you know, 20 points in 23 games.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to play in Vancouver either. So he was one of the guys I was really hoping that the Lightning were going to be able to hold on to, because when he was here for, what was it, a season and a half, they traded for him in 2017-18, I believe. I was hoping he was going to be able to stick around for a bit, and he played very well, but, you know, he's a great player, so we'll see what happens with that.
And, yeah, I was sad to see him go too, because I thought, I mean, he wasn't putting up crazy numbers like he is now, but you know, he definitely showed like he was another guy that, like, a Palat, a Kaloran type of guy who we kind of needed. You know, I'm just looking through the leaders in the league right now, and Stamkos is tied for ninth with, you know, 24 points in 20 games and 11 goals, 13 assists. You know, is way better than I kind of expected him to be, because, you know, I figured, you know, I don't think anybody expected Kucherov to go down in the third or fourth game.
No.
So, you know, I was expecting Kucherov to lead the league in, you know, scoring and have a crazy year. But, you know, Stamkos is over a point per game, which is great. And, you know, he's putting the puck in the back of the net, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah,
especially,
I mean,
for him.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, we've been missing some of our stars. Obviously, Kucherov hasn't played in a while, points down right now. So for Stammer to be playing well, you know, that's what the team is going to need to you know, hold off until some of these guys start coming back.
Yeah, I mean, you're not expecting Stamkos to dish the puck out and get, you know, 100 assists a year, but, you know, you kind of expect, you know, 30, 40 goals, and you'll take it.
Yep.
You know, because, I mean, he scored 60 in, what, 2011, 2010?
Yeah, the 2011-12 season, he scored 60 and 50 goals the season before that.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I don't think...
I don't see him hitting 60 again, either, but he's still a hell of a player.
I mean, I can see him getting 40.
I mean, how many guys are hitting 60 goals a year anyways?
Ovechkin.
Exactly.
Probably,
Right. Him or maybe McDavid, maybe.
Right. You know, if they get lucky. Because, you know, with Edmonton, they have McDavid, Dreisaitl, Hopkins, and Zach Hyman. And that's basically all the forwards that are, you know, are good. And,
right.
And I think McDavid is just on another level than anybody else in the league. And he's just carrying that team. And Dreisaitl obviously contributes because he's leading the league in scoring. But, you know, I think McDavid is on another level compared to anybody else.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not really a surprise. His draft class was probably the most highly anticipated since, you know, Sidney Crosby in 2005.
Right.
So he's definitely a great talent.
And, like, you look at the, was it 2016 with Eichel and Matthews? I think that was a year. Because McDavid was 15, I believe.
I think Eichel went in the same draft class as McDavid. Yeah, he went number two, I believe.
Okay, you might be right. I think you're right on that. But who was second to Austin Matthews? Because he was 16, wasn't he?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Let's see. Oh, Lonnie from was with Winnipeg, but now he's okay. Yeah, then Dubois and Puljujärvi, Tkachuk. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. So I know a bunch of people were saying a couple of years ago when Lonnie had a couple good years in him that, you know, he was way better than Matthews and this and that. But
his career hasn't turned out like I thought it would be. I mean, I think he's still a good player, but definitely not. His career hasn't panned out like I thought it would.
No, and I mean, as much as I'm not a fan of Austin Matthews in Toronto, you got to give it to him. He's definitely a hell of a goal scorer.
Yeah, he's a talent for sure.
I mean, he's got, in 354 career games, he's got 370 points.
Yep.
209 goals. So, I mean, he's somebody that can win the Leafs some games. Him and Marner and Tavares is a good combination. What is there any game that you're looking forward to the most the rest of the year? Other than, I'm pretty sure you're looking forward to Nashville, but
I'm looking forward to Nashville. They play the Golden Knights at home, I believe, in January, right?
Let's see. Yep, the end of January, 29th.
I think, obviously, you know, the game people were most anticipating was the Seattle Kraken game.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to see, you know, obviously Seattle play in Tampa for the first time and for Yanni Gord's return. But other than that, you know, I love going to all the games, but, you know, Vegas is one of the ones I would say I'm still looking forward to. The New Year's game will be fun, too.
What, the Rangers?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Eichel will be back by end of next month, will he?
I'm not sure.
I don't think he's had his surgery yet.
So no, maybe Eichel did have his surgery.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, I must have missed that.
I don't know what his return time is slated for, but or how long he's supposed to be out.
Right. I bet you're looking forward to this game right here, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Pittsburgh.
Hopefully the Penguins can do the same thing they did on opening night, right?
No. You got to give them, you know, 50-50. One wins one game, and then one wins the other game.
Oh, listen, they only play them two or three times a year, so what's two or three losses, right?
Well, I mean, we beat them in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
No, they've only played the Penguins once this year, right?
No, we won. We beat them 5-1.
Did they? Oh,
yep.
Well, I'm mistaken. So I guess they got him back for opening night. So hopefully the Penguins can take the other game back in Amalie.
Hey, this is supposed to be a Lightning podcast.
Oh,
that's
right.
Oh, boy. We've gone for 48 minutes now. That's not too bad.
Unfortunately, we don't have Ace for another episode here. The first time she was sick, now she's on a plane right now.
I know, exactly. She's on a plane right now going to New York. She would have been here, but, you know, just she said that the next one she'll be here. So looking forward to having her chime in here and there and talking about the Lightning because, you know, she loves Ross Colton.
That's what I was about to say. Talk about how much she loves Ross Colton. She got that jersey now.
Yep, and, well, thanks to you. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, no problem.
And
he scored that night too.
Exactly.
Ross Colton's kind of gotten off to a slow start this year too. He's definitely, you know, he had a good year last year, great year last year. Ended up winning, you know, getting the Stanley Cup winning goal at home. But he really hasn't played well this year.
Yeah, I mean he's done pretty well the last two or three games. But another person that she absolutely loves is Corey Perry, but I think I think she just likes to give a shit about that.
Right. Well, she's a Corey Perry hater because we're Corey Perry lovers.
Exactly.
So.
I really deep down don't think she really minds him.
No, she doesn't.
But I think she just likes to give a shit about it because, you know, we like him. And she did the same thing with me with Goodrow last year. Even though she liked him, she just gave me shit about him because I like the guy, which, you know, it's all good. But, yeah, we're missing her. She's on a plane going to New York having vacation with the family, so... wishing her safe travels.
Yep.
Hopefully everything goes well. She has a good time. And hopefully we'll be all three of us be back to a Lightning game here soon.
Definitely.
She gets back next week, so we'll I'm sure we'll make it out to the game with you shortly. The next game, tomorrow night is obviously the Blues, but
then they go on a, you know, a little bit of a road trip. Yeah, 5-game road trip.
Yep. And then come back, play the Kings and then the Senators.
Yep.
14th and 16th. Okay. Anything you got? Anything you can think of?
No, I mean, we covered basically everything that I had written down to go over today.
Good. I mean, we've gone 50 minutes, so that's not too bad. It doesn't seem like it, though.
No, I mean, it went by fast last time, but I feel like we were a little bit more prepared this time around.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you and I went into the first one basically completely, you know, blind, nothing written down, you know, but...
Yeah.
I think we still went for almost an hour last time, too.
Yeah, we were like 50-something minutes, and we're at 51 right now, so not bad at all. I think we're going to get better every time. I mean, this is only our second time doing it, so I think each time we're going to get better and hopefully turn this into something enjoyable and something good for you guys, because we'll obviously we're live on Twitch right now, but we're gonna be going to put this on our podcast, on the Bub Army podcast channel.
Yep.
So you guys can download it on there, and you want to keep going, or you want to, I mean, I don't know what else to talk about now.
I mean, we can wrap things up.
Okay, because I have no idea what to talk about anymore. I kind of covered everything on my list, like,
yep,
20 minutes ago, so I was just thinking of stuff here and there, so, I don't know. We'll see what the Lightning do tomorrow at home against the Blues. Hopefully we get revenge. Hopefully we
bounce back.
Bounce back, exactly.
Because that was definitely a disappointing loss last night.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm sure Vazzy will be in it tomorrow night.
Yep.
God,
wouldn't it suck if he went down with an injury? I don't know what the hell they'd do.
Oh, there'd be no chance.
Right.
No way.
No way.
No chance we would even, I mean, might.
He's the one guy that you don't want to go down.
No, I mean, you could afford to take Kucherov out for a little while at Stamkos like we have before, but.
Right, they got enough forward depth. Yeah. I mean, obviously, they've played well and still won without some of their stars, but if Vasi goes out and you're rolling with Brian Elliott as your number one, I mean, forget about it, you're done.
Oh, no, I mean, Hedman's been out, I think a couple years ago, he was out for a little while. McDonough's, you know, very good veteran defenseman who can lead the way on that, and Sergachev is not bad either, but you have Vazzy go out and we're done, like literally we're done, because you can't rely on Brian Elliott, and hell, I don't even know who the third string would even be. Probably somebody from Syracuse, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I know during that prospect game, I don't know what his last name is. His first name is Hugo. It's Hugo something.
Yeah, Hugo Allenfeld or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he's supposed to be some highly touted goalie prospect, but
right.
I think he's still probably a couple years off.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I have no idea, but hopefully we don't have to worry about that anytime soon, because hopefully Vazzy is...
Right, watch me jinx it, and he goes out with a season-ending injury tomorrow,
I'll be
right?
So pissed.
You guys can blame me for that if that ends up happening.
Let's hope not. Let's knock on wood on that one. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be on the podcast channel by the time you're seeing this. I'm not sure when it'll be, but hopefully Lightning will win tomorrow night against the Blues at home.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time. Thank you, guys.
See ya. Go Bolts.